This may sound morbid to some, others may be able to relate, but in our house, we love a good murder mystery. From Agatha Christie to Hitchcock to Arthur Conan Doyle, these writers have captivated audiences and readers for decades with their suspenseful stories and the proverbial whodunit. Everyone is a suspect until proven otherwise. There's almost always some twist in the plot to throw off the suspecting armchair detective or shine light on some new development. What if I told you the Bible contains one of the most unusual and enduring murder mysteries of all time? There's elements of suspense, there's betrayal, jealousy, powerful villains scheming in the background, and lovable heroes. And a plot twist that has captivated the world for two millennia, and still to this day there's debate on who is responsible. Our story has a list of some of the most unlikely characters. The dominant world power at the time, the Roman Empire, who literally has blood on their hands. A group of pious, self-righteous, religious leaders obsessed with their positions and power. And Judas Iscariot, a close companion who is willing to sell out his own teacher for monetary gain. How about an angry mob whose persistent thirst for violence forced the ruling authorities to issue an execution just because? And our would-be victim, Jesus of Nazareth, who one day is beloved by the multitudes, even hailed as he enters the city, and almost overnight despised by all, rejected by his own disciples and friends. Now the stage is set, and all the major players are in motion. What cause did the Roman Empire have to kill Jesus? None whatsoever. He was not a threat politically or militarily. They didn't seek him out. They may have didn't even know who he was. Although Jesus died at the hands of a Roman cohort, they were just the vessel in which it was made to happen. So are the Romans responsible for the death of Jesus? Yes, they are. How about the Pharisees? They were constantly scheming and plotting on how they could bring Jesus down. Their flimsy charges and accusations were not enough to condemn him, but they saw an opportunity. They took a chance, and their persistence paid off. Although their hands may be technically clean, they were the driving force behind the entire plot. Are the Pharisees responsible for killing Jesus? Yes, they are. How about the angry mob, the Jewish people, when Pilate wanted nothing to do with Jesus' death and the trial? What did the people cry out in Matthew 27:24? When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See that to yourselves." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and our children." Then he released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus scourged, he delivered him to be crucified. Is the angry mob responsible for Jesus' death? Yes, they are. Now their statement seems pretty plain and simple. They wanted Jesus' death. But this statement has been surrounded by so much debate over time that even in 1963, the Catholic Church issued a statement exonerating the Jewish people of killing the Son of God. I'm pretty sure they meant exactly what they said. Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' closest companions for 3 years, one of his inner 12, betrayed his teacher for 30 pieces of silver, but was so guilt-stricken afterwards that he took his own life. Is Judas responsible for killing Jesus? Yes, he is. Now, enter an unsuspecting behind-the-scenes player who is truly the mastermind and architect of the entire plot and story, the Father. God the Father, to be more precise. In Acts chapter 2, 23, it says, "This man," referring to Jesus, "delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed him to the cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death." See, it was God's plan. Isaiah 53:10 says this, that it was the Lord's desire to crush him by making him a guilt offering. Is God the Father responsible for Jesus' death? Yes, he is. But it was done for our benefit. What if Jesus wasn't murdered against his will? What if he went willingly? The scriptures tell us, as a sheep was led to the slaughter. What if he knew what was coming and even helped orchestrate it from the beginning? In John chapter 10, verse 11 says this. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling is not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep. Behold, the wolf is coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and mine own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become as one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." You see, no one could take Jesus' life. He laid it down to fulfill his Father's will. You couldn't lay hands on Jesus unless he allowed it. This is Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus who rebuked the wind and the waves and it became peaceful. Jesus laid down his life. Does this conclude our list of suspects? By no means, it does not. What about Josh Miller? What about Tim Peters? What about Rick Gustin? What about Dylan Atchley? We weren't there. We didn't plot against him. We didn't scourge him. We didn't nail him to that cross. Maybe not physically, but spiritually, we did. It was our sins that sent him to that cross. Peter writes something in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but keep entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we are healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." Are we responsible for Jesus' death? Yes, we are. It was our sin. We were the motivation that drove him to the cross. But fortunately, our gracious Father in heaven knew all of this already and carefully devised and literally executed this perfect plan so that we could be freed from sin. Our Father and gracious Lord, we thank you, God, so much for this time that we could come and think about that sacrifice, Lord, that you gave your only and perfect and blameless Son, Lord, to come to this earth to live as we live, Lord, to be tempted in all points as we, but yet without sin, Lord, but willingly went to that cross, endured every one of those strikes against him, Lord, and endured the hateful jeers at him and the scourges on his back, Lord, and to be spit in his face just for us, that he could bear our cross, Lord, that he could bear our sin. But thankfully, Lord, that you had a plan and that on that third day he rose again, that we can be forgiven. And we just thank you, God, so much for this time that we can partake of these emblems, Lord, that represent his body and his blood, that we can think about that sacrifice, Lord. And just please, Lord God, forgive us for when we sin and fall short. In Jesus' name.